The idea of
Easter again, through one man comes life eternal, which is built on the idea that through one man, Adam, came sin, through one man, Jesus, comes life eternal. Now, we're thankful that the tomb can still be here. We've kept it as a commemoration of the empty tomb, that the stone is rolled away and that Jesus is risen. So we're continuing on an emphasis on Easter. And the full impact of Jesus' death has to be felt. Jesus says it is finished. He bowed his head. He gave up his spirit. He was taken down dead from the cross. He was put in a tomb, and the tomb was sealed. You have to really understand and feel this reality that Jesus died, because it has a big impact on us in our faith, but it's also because death has always had a really huge hold on humanity. And the first example I have is of the pyramids. The pyramids in Egypt were built for the Pharaoh. The Pharaoh was the great overarching being of the Egyptians. Everyone else didn't really matter. And the Pharaoh needed this tomb to be enshrined in to allow him to pass to heaven safely. And as they go into these tombs and find the burial place of a Pharaoh, there are all kinds of servants who have been maybe killed and laid alongside of him. There's all kinds of food and presents and offerings to help him make a safe journey to the afterlife. It's all focused on death. This is about death. It's a death cult, really. And you can see how death has ruled and reigned and dominated over us for so long. Here in Mexico, you have the Day of the Dead. They celebrate it as a special festival, and they celebrate it by dressing up in that way. Perhaps in our own experience, our own culture is at Halloween. You know, there are lots of skeletons around and gravestones and all that kind of stuff. The next example I have is New York City. I remember once being on a bus driving through New York City and seeing this cemetery filled with thousands of graves in front of a city which is filled with millions of people. The center of Manhattan. Death is certainly a reality that is just part of life. And we encounter it. It's had its hold upon us, and it's been strong in our lives. Here in the catacombs of Paris, they have stacked up bones and bones and bones because they know the reality of death. Part of that is, you know, the life expectancy in 1840 in the United States was about 41 years old. Has anyone beaten that? Quite a few of us. The life expectancy, as you go through history, might have been 30 years old or 40 years old, and not much more. I mean, it hasn't changed much. It's dramatically changed now because we are predominantly living, and maybe the average life expectancy is 75, or some countries it's over 80. They say that the oldest person in the world was a French woman, and she lived to the age of 122. However, she's passed away, living within the framework of death. With Jesus' resurrection, suddenly death has lost its grip. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Death has been put in its place. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And now we who believe, as John 3:16 promises us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Because of faith, we have been liberated from the power of death. We live in a life that cannot die or is not permanently dead. We're going to enter into death as an entrance, as crossing a threshold into what God has in store for us in the afterlife, which He is in control of. Because of Jesus' death and His burial, resurrection, His exaltation to heaven, we are justified and made righteous. We are redeemed and made righteous in Christ, as Romans 5 reminds us. We are now qualified for God. We enjoy a peace that passes all understanding in Christ Jesus because heaven is triumphant. Let us pray for a moment before we read Scripture of Romans 6. Almighty God, through only Son, you overcame death and opened to us the light of eternity. Enlighten our minds and kindle our hearts with the presence of your Spirit so that we may hear your words of comfort and challenge in the reading of the Scriptures, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So Romans 6, 1-14. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but you are under grace. This is the reading of God's word. Thanks be to him. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, whom we believe in by faith, blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed. Even though we weren't at the tomb, we believe and trust that Jesus is risen, because all those cloud of witnesses, the apostles and all who were with him, testify that he was risen from the dead. And we believe and we know that through the Holy Spirit he gives us testimony that Christ is alive, that he intercedes for us in heaven. So by faith, we claim as our Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. And we bow down and confess that he is the Lord. Jesus is Lord. And he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And we, together with him, now live forever. We praise him and give glory to his name for that. Now the one man, Jesus Christ, who came under God's grace to provide us righteousness against the condemnation of the law, is risen. Because he is risen, he guarantees for us this righteousness which we receive by faith. As I said, the resurrection confirms eternal life because we are granted it by the righteousness that is granted to us by grace. And it comes to us through Jesus Christ. Now, by belonging to Jesus Christ, we have been identified with him in his death to sin. He then unleashes in us the power of the Holy Spirit to make us want to do the righteous and the good. Now, there's a contrast here between judgment, condemnation, and death, and justification, righteousness, and life. We are delivered from judgment, condemnation, and death, and brought into the life of Christ, where there's justification, righteousness, and life. And then he unleashes the power of the Holy Spirit to make us want to do the righteous and the good. Our law-breaking days are put to rest, and we accept the beautiful gift of grace. Because sin has no power nor any attraction to us any longer. Grace wants to rule our lives. We simply, upon our surrender to Jesus Christ, want to live for the glory of God. We want to please God, and we want to genuinely bring good to our neighbor. Ephesians 3:21 reminds us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus until unto all the generations forever and ever. Amen. He is promising to us a power that gives us strength to want to please God and to genuinely bring good to our neighbor. The two things we're asked to do in the summary of the law. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now Ephesians 1:12 says, so that we who are the first to hope in Christ are to the praise of the glory of God. This is Paul speaking in the early church. But it applies to us as well. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead came through the glory of God the Father. God glorified his name by raising Jesus from the dead, by rolling the stone away, by bringing him to life. And this illuminates the beauty and wonder of the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, and whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's love that generates it. Love that illuminates it. And love that motivates it. Because now, through the resurrection of Jesus, we live a new life. Believe it or not, a new life that wants to please God. One that is not at war with its neighbor in the new life found in Jesus Christ. You will not want to rain down death and destruction on your enemy or your neighbor. You remember what Jesus taught. Turn the other cheek and forgive your enemies. Remember that Jesus, that you are loved. There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear is to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Love becomes preeminent in our new life in Christ. And we want to live a new life that pleases God. We want that because that become our main desire. The power of sin has been broken, and the desire to live for God is the most important thing. Your new life in Christ enjoys a profound love for the world. We begin to love the world in a whole new way. You know, I'll remember this woman that became a missionary. She went to Hong Kong, and in Hong Kong they used to have this dark place. It was so congested. It was all built up. And it's all destroyed now. It's been rebuilt. But it used to be a place of dark drug dealing and prostitution, and it was just a dark, dark place, and she felt called to go in there because she felt God had motivated her by love to love the world, to love the unlovable, to be motivated, to move by love. Because we have the power of Jesus Christ working in us to defeat sin, and so we know how it is to feel free, and in that freedom, we can take risks. You yield yourself to the Lord. You, in your new life in Christ, you enjoy a life open and transparent to God. You say to God, Lord, search me and know me. Find out whatever there is in me that's a shadow. Find out whatever there is in me that you need to remind me of, that I need to reconcile and be made whole. As you yield yourself to the Lord, you will seek to root out the weeds of what displeases him. Such as love for money, passions uncontrolled and ugly. You will root out seeking power over others. You will root out jealousies and envies and malicious rumors. New life in Christ empowers you to end all of these and to learn to live a life within appropriate boundaries. One of the greatest gifts of God is that He teaches us biblical boundaries that puts God in control. There are fences. There are boundaries that God has built into us, and we want to honor them. And by honoring them, we are set into a life that is full of love and is set free. These are all a legacy of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You and I, as Christians, are baptized into the death of Christ to put to death your sinful nature, and you are raised to life to realize the new life found in Christ. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. This is coming from Colossians 3. Set your sights on the new realities of heaven, because in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, heaven comes down to earth. And we, as earthly beings, are brought up into the heavenly realms. We are unified with Christ in death, bringing the sinful nature to its end. And then you are united with Christ in His resurrection to bring the new life of Christ into fulfillment. For Jesus Christ Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. For by His wounds you have been healed. It is a powerful truth that we live out, and it's because of Jesus Christ, not because of us or anything else. The truth is that anyone who has died has been set free from sin. In this life, we are bound to a mortal body that is afflicted by sin. Once a person dies, their possibility to sin is finished. You can no longer do any damage here on planet Earth. That is why God has put that limit. So, terrible figures from history that really were lords of evil in a way, Genghis Khan, Adolf Hitler, Pol Pot, you can name many of them. Their lives are circumscribed by death, and their power to do evil ends with their death. But so it is for us. With our death comes the end of sin. But Paul is trying to make us realize that we, living beings, can be transformed in the same way. Paul says that Christ is now living a new life. Being raised from the dead proved His mastery over death. As Alistair Begg reminds us in this quote, Jesus has risen from the dead in a transformed body which will never die again. He now has a body over which death is impotent. Death has no power over Him any longer. It's no longer the final stage. It has been rendered moot. Death has been rendered void, irrelevant, not applicable any longer. Jesus died a death to sin, making it powerless to rule our lives any longer. The life He lives as our risen Lord, He lives to God. So we too live to God. So we came to the tomb. Now, the women came to the tomb, I should say, and the angel said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but He is risen." And in His resurrected life, He gives us the power to also live for God. God becomes our focus. God becomes our pride and our joy. God is our celebration, and God is our primary mover. We do all in obedience to Him and His will, and all we do is devoted to bringing glory to His name. This is our resurrected life in Jesus Christ. And in that life, we are called to offer every part as an instrument of righteousness. See that? He wants us to be tuned so that every part of ourselves is offered to the Lord, to God, our Father God, as an instrument of righteousness because of the power of Jesus Christ working within us. You see, he moves us from being selfish. He moves us from being uncaring. He moves us from being inhuman to a person who loves goodness and seeks to do everything he can for the sake of righteousness. And what God is saying to us all here today, this morning, is we have much to give. And he's calling us to not hold back. Offer God what you have and trust him to give you what you need. Craig Gruschel is a pastor in the States. He said that. Offer to God what you have and trust him to forgive you what you need. By faith, we are called to give and not hold back. Christ is risen. Praise be to him. Now, for a moment, we're going to fix our eyes on Jesus through a video reflection.
Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition, so you will not grow weary and lose heart.
Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you that in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we find the power to live our lives for you and to your glory. That you grant to us the calling to offer every part of ourselves as instruments of righteousness for the sake of Jesus Christ, to model our lives after him, and to know that that is an exacting standard, Lord, a standard to which we must be called every day. Lord, we know how many ways in which sin plucks at us and seeks to drag us down. Lord, this we do not agree with, but we reject in the name of Jesus Christ. We rebuke it, and we say we will live for you. We will live in the power of your love. For you have defeated death and sin and Satan and the cross. You endured its shame and were then exalted to heaven. We pray that you will help us, Lord, to run this race with perseverance, not to grow weary of doing good, but to know that we are instruments tuned to give you praise, to bring glory to your name. Help us do that, Lord, in everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen.